there now.
Well, folks, it's a real joy to be here to share with you this morning, hoping to encourage you in your most holy faith. Let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' precious name, that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We would just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart here this morning, and Lord, that you would be with me here, that I would say, give words that come from your word, and Lord, that I would be guided by your Holy Spirit to say what is going to be said this morning. I just thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies, and how that you do so many things in each one of our lives. And whether we feel that they're good or bad, we know that all things good come from you. And we just praise you and we thank you for this. Just pray that you'll guide your word this morning, that it'll go out and conquer what you want it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 1. One of my favorite psalms. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It's a very familiar passage that I'm sure that each one of us has read a number of times in our life, or maybe not. But happy is that man that walks in the counsel of, not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you see him walking, and then or stands in the way of sinners. He stopped and he's standing. Or sits in the seat of the scornful. Now he's sitting down. So there's three steps, and they're just going down as you go into that. But his delight, this is the wonderful part. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See the switch there, that when he turns to the Lord, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. With that attitude, he says, he'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Certainly a strong psalm there. I don't know whether that... Is that speaker still on? Maybe that's what it is. No? Okay, sorry. I just getting back feed here, so I don't know. That's fine. Anyways, let's go over to Psalm 23. Another one of my favorite psalms. No, I just want to mention that I was speaking to, or I read this psalm to a man that was going into eternity. And he seemed to be so hungry for this. He's so thirsty for to hear this psalm. And he was just like as if he was grasping out to hear this psalm. It was so comforting because you could see the comfort in him when I finished the psalm. And I just thinking of, you know, that the Lord speaks to us in the most difficult times in our life. The Lord comforts us. You know, I don't know what it's like to pass through, of course, like none of us do. We're still here. But I think of when I was a baby. I don't remember the first, the teething part and all that stuff that we went through and, you know, the pains and all the difficulty that we went through. I believe that the Lord was especially close to me as a little baby, you know, and so was my mom and dad, of course. But I was just thinking that, you know, near the end of our life, and when people look like as if it's a swipe into eternity, and I really believe that the Lord is with us in those moments, those times. And I believe that. It says here, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a wonderful, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, it's so personal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. It's such a personal thing. You know, when you think about the still waters and you're walking along beside still waters, I love to be by a lake or something like that. It's a nice calming feeling, and especially on a warm summer day. But you know, there's times that I just know the Lord is with me as He walks me beside the still waters when everything seems to be in a turmoil. And where in the past I would be very, very upset about the situations, and yet God, in His mercy, in His grace and love, He walks me through these things sometimes just like I'm walking beside still water, knowing that He is with me in every difficulty, knowing that He's with me in my good times and my bad times. And what we think is bad sometimes is not that bad. What we think is good sometimes is not that good. So sometimes when you're walking through difficult times in your life, remember the one that made you, and He knows exactly what's best for you. And He knows how to bring us up. He knows how to bring us down. And it's all good. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He restores my soul in difficult times. Sorry if I have a little tear once in a while, because it's just the way it is with me. I get into the Word, and there's so many favorite passages in here that it just touches me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. So you know, when I get to that area, I'm sure counting on the Word of God in that area of my life, because He says that He's going to be with me at that time. And He said that I'm going to be comforted in my time of leaving this world. We all have to leave. We're only here on a day-by-day pass, as it were. yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, and today is a present, so you enjoy it at its fullest. You don't have to worry about tomorrow because you might not be included in it. And you don't have to worry about yesterday because that's already been lived. You can't change a thing about it. Today is your day. That's a wonderful thing that we only have to live one day at a time, Lord Jesus. One day. So live it unto the Lord because He loves you. You know, I think we so take it for granted, even as Christians, how much that God loves us. And we forget that, you know, it's something like, I think about marriage. We take one another for granted because, well, we're with them every day. And so we sort of take that. But boy, I'll tell you, when one is missing, the other one's concerned. Just think if God was missing in your life. How concerned would you be? Like, you'd certainly find a big hollow spot there in a hurry. I know He's with me all the day long, every moment, and I sure enjoy His presence. You know, I've got a tie here, and it's got a whole pile of gifts on it. And I'm going to be speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, or touching on it, and thinking about all the gifts. You know, you gotta think about all the gifts that God has given you, and the fruits and the enjoyment that God has given to you. We take it so much for granted. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, even in situations, and I know that we go out into the world and the world is using the Lord's name in vain. And after you become a Christian, it's a very insulting thing to hear your Lord's name being used in vain. It hurts you. That's like, you know, somebody running your wife down or something, you know? Or just using, you know, just being very ignorant. You know, thou shalt not use the Lord of thy God's name in vain. Because He says you will be held accountable for that. So, you know, the only way out of that is to get saved and recognize who He is. And once you recognize who He is, then you're not going to use His name in vain because you realize that He's the one that gave you the breath to use His name. And you sure don't want to be using it in vain. But I've had a lot of experiences in, you know, changing from the old man to the new man in my life. I still go through those, and of course we will as long as we're on the planet, but I mean, immediately after I got saved, you know, the devil sure was trying to give me a hard time. And he had me swearing when I don't even remember ever swearing that much to use the Lord's name in vain, but I'd wake up in the middle of the night with a sweat, you see. And I would claim the blood of Christ and ask Him to, you know, just stop that. Stop that thought in my mind. I don't want that. I wanted to praise God instead of you, you know. And these things were happening, but once I started growing closer to the Lord, then of course they sort of, like an old garment, started to fall off. It was a good thing. I was so happy to experience God's power and His strength. But He is a gracious God. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. And I've proven that to be true in my life. He hasn't left me for a moment. And I am so grateful for that. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Well, you know what? I can sure apply that to my life. That my cup runneth over. It's just overwhelming of the, don't get me wrong, I'm not a millionaire, but I am. I just don't have any money. But you know what? $1 million would never, ever, ever come near to what I have in the Lord. What a Savior. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yes. My brother told me that those are two little dogs. Goodness and mercy. They're always following me. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, you know, when he's living in your heart, how closer could you be to the Lord? He's dwelling in my house. Someday I'll dwell in his house. Isn't it wonderful? Anyways, I better get off that because it's bringing tears to my eyes. Let's go over to the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We're not going to get into the fruit of the flesh. I think we all know about that part of our life. But we're going to get into the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but. There. But. Usually when you see a but, it's because that there's something else coming after that's going to be good. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Now you think about that. Love. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now it cost the Father his Son to love us so much that he would come into the world in the flesh, be rejected, you know, to be spit upon, to be mocked, to be beaten. His Son, the Holy One. You want to talk about love? Love is a costly thing. It costs to love. It's not just, you know, some people think about love in a whole different manner, but love is going to cost you something. But it's well worth it. But it's going to cost you. But you'll be blessed when you love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That little lady that's over there is the love of my life. Let's turn to that. It's Ephesians 5, 25 to 33. Ephesians 5. It says here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, at the cross, we're part of the church. Church is the people. He lives in my church. Lives in your church if you're a Christian. He lives in your heart. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church and he gave himself for it. Don't think of marriage as a light thing. You become very responsible. It's a commitment. It's something that's wonderful. But you're committed. You don't always feel happy all the time because if you love one another, there's difficult times in your life. But the nice thing is that you got a commitment. You committed to that. And so therefore you hang in there and you do what you're supposed to do. I mean, just because the things get tough on the job, you don't walk out on it because that's your food. Anyways, it's a commitment, but it's well worth it because I tell you, love grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. I think as lovely as my wife was when I first met her, she's gotten lovelier all the way through. And I love her dearly. But God loves you dearly. Just think that if we love our wives, how much does God love us? Just think of his love to us, being that we are the bride of Christ. We are his children. He loves you so much. Don't ever forget God's love because God is so big. I think of, you know, he placed the stars in the sky and, you know, some of those stars is 100 times bigger than this earth and they're way out there. He placed them all in the sky and he placed the planet where it is and the moon where it is and, you know, and here I am, I'm walking on the earth and I'm, how big am I when I think about God? And he loves me. Can't get over it. Don't ever want to either. I think that this God that is so big, one day I'm going to see him and meet him. The one that loved me unto death. Even the death of the cross. What a Savior. That he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. I hope I don't run out of Kleenex here. I'll have to use somebody's tie, and I think I got one right here. No. Anyways, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Isn't it wonderful to know that once you have accepted Christ as your Savior, God the Father looks down on Stan Campbell and he sees me washed in the blood of his own Son because I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I am covered. When God the Father looks on me, he sees me as perfect in him. That's beyond anything I could understand, you know, really. That I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, that means you're perfect in him. And when God looks on you, he sees you covered in his own Son's blood, which forgives you all of your sins. And you're perfect in him. And you're going to be with him in glory to enjoy the presence of his presence for all eternity. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? I can't. Not here. But I sure do get excited about it when I think about it. And he said we're going to be without spot or wrinkle. You know, all of our thoughts, I mean, we think, our minds wander astray and we're all over the place, but God says, hey, one day you won't have a spot or a wrinkle. You're going to be totally perfect. You're not going to have to worry about the bad thoughts that comes into your mind, because guess what? You're going to have a new mind. Wonderful. And he says we ought to love our wives like Christ loved the church. I was singing to a group of young couples there last night, and it sure brings you back to some times in your life when you had young children, but you never stop being concerned about your children. And if you think it's over, it's not over, because your grandchildren come into the picture. And if that isn't enough, the great-grandchildren come into the picture, and you're just as concerned about all of them, you know? It's a wonderful thing. So you started something there that... going to last you for a lifetime. That's all right. That's all right. God has a plan for you and each one. So that the church should be holy and without blemish, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Well, the two become one flesh. And that's what happens, because I'll tell you, when my wife is somewhere else, I'm always sort of like half of me is gone somewhere. Hey, get back here. I mean, I just feel a little bit lonely without you. Where is she anyways? What, did she leave me? I got to tell you that I go out singing, and my wife goes out bowling, and she pictures me as a headpin, and she gets a strike quite often. She's a good bowler, but she's got to have the right picture in her mind, you know. Anyways. No man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as Christ the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall join unto his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. See, when a person gets married to a wife, I mean, I remember when I first seen my wife on her dad's doorstep, I knew that something happened there. I didn't know what, but I knew I was in trouble. And you know what? It's been good trouble. I never thought trouble could be so good. But anyways, I just want to mention that that's a picture of Christ in the church. And we got to be troublesome to the Lord, I'm sure, at times, but it's good trouble because he loves you so much. He must see us and say, boy, oh boy, wait till I get them in glory, because I got to straighten them out. They sure are astray every once in a while. What happens the way they think? I don't know how God thinks, but we know that we're perfect in him because of the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We are in his righteousness. He comes down and he gives us his righteousness. We walk in his righteousness. Isn't that amazing? And I look at myself and I say, well, it's got to be a miracle, because I certainly don't feel that I'm righteous. But God says, I am because I'm covered. What a privilege. Could you think that it could happen? I'm running into a problem with time here, so I'm going to have to cut it close. But you know, folks, it's a real privilege to know the Lord, and I'm just so encouraged in life. How that God has been so patient with me. And He's seen me in different times of my life, and I know that I'm not that perfect husband or perfect father or anything like that. But I do love my wife, and I love my children. And I love my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And you know what? It's been just a wonderful, wonderful life. I mean, there's moments of difficulties, no doubt about that. There's different storms that comes up in our lives. But what's life without a storm, you know? If it wasn't for a storm, you wouldn't appreciate the sunshine, would you? Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just would praise You and thank You for who You are and what You continue to do in each one of our lives. We thank You, O gracious God, for each situation. Even though that we are saddened, then we're overwhelmed with happiness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We just pray that You would speak to each heart here today and encourage us, Lord. If there's one that doesn't know You as their Savior today, O Lord, bring him out. Bring him into the flock. Bring him into Your church. The only church. All they have to do is ask Jesus to forgive them all of their sin and ask Him to come into their heart and life and make them into what You would have them to be. And Father, we just are so grateful of Your loving kindness and Your tender mercies. And we praise You and thank You in Jesus' name for everything. Amen.